expect it, and we do see. But sometimes we see with the natural eyes rather than the spiritual eyes. Sometimes we hear with the natural ears rather than the spiritual ears, because you have both. And you have a heart that can perceive from the natural perspective, but you can also have a heart that perceives from the Lord's perspective. And that will break down some of the old works. So tonight I want to take you to Acts chapter 4, and we're going to hit verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Salvation is found in no one else. So those who try to sell a bill of goods that salvation comes through this or them or those or whatever, St. Peter is pretty adamant. And you got to remember who he's facing when he's speaking these words. If you just back it up a little bit, you'll see that the rulers are involved. In verse 1, it says, "The priests and the captains of the temple guards and the Sadducees came to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers and elders and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family." I think you need to remember, the other men of the high priest's family. "They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. 'By what power or what name did you do this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit," hear me when I say this, Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't Peter on his own. "Said to them, 'Rulers and elders and people, we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed. Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved.'" Verse 13 is the one I want you to also realize what an awesome statement it is. "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men." Some of us are unschooled, ordinary men and women. "They were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus." How did they get their knowledge? How did they get the Holy Spirit? By being with Jesus. If the hierarchy of Israel was upset with two of God's disciples giving them the option to change, what's going to happen in your family? See, I think we underestimate what God has already invested in us. And his purpose to tie us together as one. If you remember in the book of Acts, they could not and would not receive the Holy Spirit until the Lord whittled them down to 120 from over 500. What is he doing tonight with us? Why is he working on our case? Because I believe he has a plan that he's unfolding. And he's not ready to let us off the hook until we become unified and harmonized. And when we took bread tonight, we took the heart. That was the beginning. The heart of the Lord is different than my heart and your heart. I have conditions with my heart. With his heart, I don't have any conditions. He will choose the ones that we least expect to set free. Yes, sometimes we have to stand our ground, which we shared some of that earlier. We sometimes have to give to the Lord something that he can handle, people that we can't handle, because we've tried and we've usually failed. But you see, I can say to this one lady that's sitting across from me there that a few years ago you took on the job of taking in a young girl. Yeah. And it was a challenge you didn't like. But God had a plan. And now that young girl is calling her grandmother. Yes? Why is she calling the grandmother? Had she not spent time with her grandmother, would she have called?
Not to ask for prayers.
Thank you. So what did God do when she was here with you?
He planted seeds.
Yeah, and what are they doing?
They're starting to come about.
And without your help.
Ain't that true?
see, when I saw her little note, huh?
He had to move her to another state.
That's fine. That's fine. And, you know, I know that I was telling that to Irene. When we went up into Vermont on that Friday morning and came back Saturday night, the testing in her body was strong because, again, this infection was on the job trying to destroy. But God poured in grace for 3 days because she was able to do. And we did this with joy to the best of our ability. Sometimes you're going to hold your ground and you're going to go forward and there will be a cost and you're conscious of it. Other times the cost comes later. And Peter here is showing his true colors because, as my sister said, when the rooster crowed, Peter saw for the first time something that he had never seen about himself. And there are times that I say to my Savior, wow. How did you put up with me? Because I know now certain things that would, let's say, I would have loved to change years and years ago. But he allowed those weaknesses to remain. And I didn't like it. As far as the controller, you know, me. Once freedom and yesterday's freedom would have been awesome. But you know what? He's not finished with any one of us. Waiting some many, many years to see the salvation come to those that we're holding in our hearts is not pleasant, but it is doable by choice. And, you know, many people think that being ordinary is a problem. But was it a problem for the Lord to choose ordinary men? Ordinary women? Any reasoning why he didn't choose some of the hierarchy? I mean, that hierarchy was well trained in the word, you know. They knew the word better than you and I probably know.
But they didn't do it.
Oh, they did it outwardly.
It was a matter of the heart.
The heart was not changed. They were doing it under the law and under the legal penalties. Okay? So you can be religious and not know the Creator. You can be religious and not know the Healer. You can be religious and reject the Holy Spirit. My brother and I had a conversation last week about someone that he's had a little discussion with. And because of something that's happened to him, he's now in a place like in limbo, you know, and untouchable for a while. And that's what he was told. We can't really, you know, associate with you yet. I mean, where do you see our Savior see someone that fell apart because of a broken relationship be rejected by Jesus? The woman caught in the act. What does he say to the leaders? You guys who, you know, through all your sins, you can just, if you've never done what she's done, and you can throw the first stone. And then he looks at her and says, where are your accusers? Where are they in their religious garbs or garments or attitudes? These nobodies changed the earth of that day. Without a cell phone. Now today, how well would you do without a cell phone? Think about it. The power goes out tomorrow. And it's out for about 6 months. What happens to you? I think then we'd be forced into developing our spiritual senses. Mm-hmm. I can remember many years ago reading a book. I forgot the author. It's not important. The author is not important. But the Holy Spirit sent him to Russia. He's in the capital city. He's there on obedience to the Lord. He's got a car full of smuggled Bibles. What do I do with them, Lord? Holy Spirit says, drive down to K Street. Go to the second floor of apartment C or whatever. And he does so. And there's a man there weeping, crying. Will somebody ever even consider that I need a Bible? I love Jesus, but I like to read his word. He obeys the commission, whatever it was, comes to that same apartment, goes up the stairs and knocks on the door in front of him with a Bible under his arm inside his jacket and said, here, I was sent by the Lord to give you this. The man gives him a hug. He gets back into his car. Now what, Lord? Well, this area, you're going to have to use one of the trains. Well, I don't speak the language. You can read numbers, can't you? I'll take you to the place you need to go. But this time, you need two Bibles. So he puts two Bibles in his pants. And off he goes on the tram. And goes to the other side of the city where the Lord tells him to get off. And he delivers two more Bibles in a very similar way. Are you ready for that test? Are you ready to listen to what he tells you to do in spite of your brain? I think some of you are. Some of you may be questioning, how well would I do? I think you'd do better than you realize because you'd be stuck You wouldn't have all your paraphernalia to depend on.
Amen.
And I'm not being facetious about, you know, all this stuff that we have. I'm not trying to be critical. But I am telling you that the author of information is not Jesus Christ. The author of information is the enemy himself, because he can only use what he knows, and he uses it against us, and he tramples on us because we are disobedient in many, many situations. We're not trusting what we hear. We're not doing what he tells us. We're questioning all the time. And when we question, we doubt. James 1 says, if you doubt, you get zero from God. I could quote it to you. But you get zero when you're in doubts. So what do? You ask for help.
You ask for help. You prefer we say no and stand firm to the no than to be in the doubt.
Yeah. You put him out of business if you stand your ground. And I'll tell you, sometimes the doubts are plaguing you as you speak the word. Yep. And they are real. I mean, that pressure is real. So would you do me a favor and put one hand over your heart? Say, Lord Jesus, I need your help. Because Peter gave us an example. There is no one else
for salvation
except Jesus himself.
He is the only one
that can take me to the finish line and heal my heart from all the doubts and all the things I've learned. Because I need to spend
quality time
with my Savior.
Get his instructions.
Sometimes write them down. So I don't mess it up. And then obey. And grace to carry it out. I need your grace, Lord Jesus. For everything I need to do. And erase some of that unbelief. When it tries to creep up on me. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I pray. Amen. Amen.